obvious application is we would like to try to understand real-world QCD with this. So from the top-down perspective, there are many examples of gauge theories in this kind of duality. We have conformal gauge theories, non-conformal. We have gauge theories with less or no SUSY. We can have confining gauge theories. We can add flavor to the gauge theories. We can have chiral symmetry breaking. But I think at this point, there's still no, we don't have a gravity dual of QCD or a string theory dual to QCD. So an alternative approach or a more phenomenological approach is kind of just to work backwards. And it goes under the name of ADS QCD. And the basic idea is just to use our knowledge of QCD to kind of model the gravity dual. So you'd hope maybe by doing this that you might learn something about the gravitational theory, what kind of features does it have to have. Maybe more pragmatically, you can just hope that it would serve as a useful kind of calculational model, and you could actually try to calculate things in the non-perturbative regime. So just the simplest way to do this is we want to model chiral symmetry breaking and confinement. So chiral symmetry, that's dual to a bulk gauge symmetry in the extra dimension. And the simplest operators that we would want to include are we have these conserved global flavor currents. Those would to have those in the 5D theory, you would just add a gauge field in the bulk. And you want some operator that spontaneously breaks the chiral symmetry, the Q bar Q operator in QCD. And so for that, we have a scalar field X. And then we have to somehow implement confinement. So the simplest way to implement confinement, so we start out with just an ADS space, which is dual to a conformal symmetry in this 4D theory. And so QCD isn't a conformal theory, but we have the logarithmic running. So at high energies, it's not a bad place to start. And we can implement confinement just with a simple hard wall. So we put in some cutoff in the extra dimension at some position, 1 over lambda QCD. And that mimics confinement. So from kind of an extra dimensional point of view, we put in this cutoff. Now we can kind of normalize Kluze-Klein mode. And in the simplest model with this hard wall, you can have maybe three input parameters, and you can predict a handful of QCD observables with reasonable accuracy, maybe better than you'd expect.
Get all wave functions to zero there, or
just like basically you put a brain, and you can apply either.
But what are the boundary conditions?
Yeah, you can apply either Dirichlet or.
Okay.
Yeah. People usually apply Dirichlet or Langevin, I think. But. Now, one criticism on this model is that if you try to identify the highly excited states with say the higher excitations of the Rho meson and other mesons with these Kluze-Klein modes, the spectrum is quadratic in these quantum numbers, and so it doesn't exhibit the known Reggie behavior, the linear trajectories that is observed in nature. So it's not necessarily a drawback of ADS QCD models. Karch, Katzson, and Stefanov, KKSS, proposed this softball model. And what they propose to do is terminate the extra dimension kind of dynamically in kind of a softer way. And what they did is they add a dilaton prefactor to the action, which might be motivated from string theory. And in the simplest model, they just propose this background. So we have an ADS metric in this conformal coordinate Z. And the dilaton runs quadratically. And you can basically just map this, when you look at the spectrum, you can just map this problem to a harmonic oscillator problem in quantum mechanics. And so the eigenvalues go characteristically like linear in the quantum numbers. So you can get this Reggie behavior. And a question you might ask is, where could this background come from dynamically? They just kind of proposed this model. They knew this background would give them this linear behavior. And so you'd want to know maybe where this background could come from. So that was kind of the point of our work.
we just set out to find a model which gave this background dynamically. And so the first thing, as I said, this prefactor arises from some open string dbrain action. So you might want to consider the bulk dynamics. And so we'll start from this action. We have gravity, a dilaton, and a tachyon. So we want to think of this field T as the closed string tachyon. But this is a phenomenological approach, so we're not starting from any string theory potentials. So we're just going to leave the potential kind of arbitrary and see what potential would actually support the solution if we can find it. Okay, so this is our starting point. And now I'm going to take you through just a few of the details of the solution because it is kind of the main result of the work. So what we do is we'll move to the Einstein frame with this conformal transformation. And this is just to canonically normalize the dilaton. And now if we know basically what kind of metric we should look for. We know it should have an ADS piece, this 1 over z squared term. And then if we look at the conformal factor here, we should also have this exponential term that goes like z squared. So we're going to basically try to put this into our equations of motion and kind of work backwards to see what phi and t have to be, and then also the potential has to be. So we'll take this ansatz. We're going to work in the y coordinates. And the reason that is just we're going to use this so-called superpotential method. And it's more traditional to work in the y coordinates, but it's not necessary, of course. And the superpotential method is kind of inspired by supersymmetry, but in this application, it has nothing to do with supersymmetry at all. It just basically allows us to convert our second-order system of equations into a simpler first-order system. So when we do that, we introduce a so-called superpotential, some function w of the scalar field. And the equations of motion look like this. And if we can find this function w, we can write down a potential given here that supports the solution. Okay, so this is the method that we're using.
Double differential equation has two solutions.
Yes, so we're looking at a special solution.
What's the generic solution?
We didn't look at it because we basically wanted to find the this particular solution. We got of course the second order differential equation. We've had another solution. So an intermediate step, we want to convert to the y coordinates. So you just identify the piece in the metric. And the function really doesn't matter. This is some exponential integral function. The important function we want to work with is this inverse function here. And it obeys this differentiation rule. Again, these are just details, so take what you want from it. But then we write down our metric function. And so this is our quadratic piece, and this is our ADS piece. And in the y coordinates, it's written in terms of this function's I. And then you just kind of turn the crank, take a derivative of w, and you have these two pieces, which you can identify with these scalar field pieces. So we identify, we just identify each term, say this phi prime squared term with this. And then we can just straightforwardly integrate this. And we can convert back to the z coordinates, and we find our solution. So you see that the dilaton is quadratic in z, and the tachyon turns out to be linear. So if we go back to the string frame then, for a particular value of the constant a, we have a quadratic dilaton and a pure ADS metric. So this model realizes the KKSS ADS QCD softball model. Okay, so we have a solution. Let's try to see what the potential that actually supports the solution is. And once you have the solution, you can invert it to find the function W. And so here's one example. And then that determines for you your scalar potential. So here it is written out in all gory detail. And so it seems a very exotic potential. Whether or not it comes from any string theory, I can't answer. But there is this one term, these factors e to the 2 phi over root 6, these precisely match what you find in a 5D non-critical string theory. So whether or not that's just some kind of coincidence, I'm not sure, but it is an exotic potential. We can look at the lowest order terms in the potential, and they're actually pretty interesting. They're just mass terms. So no linear terms or kind of mass mixing terms. And if you look at the masses, they're just simple integer values in the units of this kind of ADS curvature. So you can actually map those to operator dimensions in the gauge theory. And it turns out that the operator associated with phi is dimension 2, and the operator associated with t is dimension 3. So just simple integer of values for these operator dimensions. Sorry?
Yeah, they're tachyonic, but it's a curved background, so it's okay. They satisfy the BF problem. Now, so you want to ask, do these correspond to anything in QCD? And for the dimension 2 operator, there's actually no local gauge invariant operator in QCD.
People consider the phenomenology actually of a non-local kind of gluon mass condensate, so that could be one possibility. We might be capturing features of supersymmetric QCD where you can have a dimension 2 operator. But I think more likely, if you really want to model QCD a little bit better, you would probably have to modify the UV dynamics. So you can try to incorporate log running or something, which might modify these dimensions. Now, if we do have a dimension 3 operator in QCD, it's the Q bar Q operator. And so you might ask if you can associate T with this operator. And actually, the linear profile implies that it's a hard chiral symmetry breaking, like a quark mass, rather than a spontaneous breaking. So we don't have spontaneous breaking if we really want to take that seriously. It also would imply that chiral symmetry is not restored in the highly excited states, the highly excited mesons. And so there's been some debate in the literature about this. But more likely, I think that really, if you want to say that T is a closed string tachyon, it's not really appropriate to identify Q bar Q with this field T, because this should also kind of originate from the open string dynamic. Okay, so let me conclude. I'm a little bit early, but I've told you about a five-dimensional gravity dilaton tachyon system, which gives you this soft wall quadratic dilaton model. Features of this solution, the potential is pretty exotic, but there is this particular term that's found in a five-dimensional non-critical string theory. Simple dimension 2 and 3 operators, which is interesting, but it's not clear at all if this has anything to do with QCD. And what we're working on now is looking at the perturbations of this solution. Seeing if the model is stable. And then, of course, it would be nice if if features of this solution could be connected with string theory or strengthened in any way. So I guess I'll stop there.
You said you have a tachyon. So do you have a gravitational instability? And if so, can you link this on the CFT side to the to your confinement scale in the end?
Well, we do have actually both scales are tachyons in the sense that their mass is negative. But actually, if you have a kind of a curved geometry like an ADS space, there's really no problem as long as the tachyons don't have a really too negative of a mass. It's not clear at all that the models. I think to really examine the stability model, you have to look at the fluctuations in the background and see if there are any problems.
So that's what we're looking for. Concerning the QQ bar pairs, wouldn't you normally realize those as 5 modes of gauge fields? Because you realize the chiral symmetry in the bulk.
Yeah, I think people do model it that way. People also model it with a scalar field. So people use the A, you mean the A5?
You mean the A5 component, yeah. That is spontaneously broken?
Yeah, people use the A5 in these models to do that. I don't know if it's been done in this softball model yet. People do it in the hardball models, but also they use a scalar field sometimes too.
sort of very naively, do these models have to be stable, or, you know, because what later what you're going to do is just to use this profile and read off whatever resonances, right? You, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a big problem, because even if it was unstable, maybe you, then you could cook up something and say, well, you know, we have to modify the UV dynamics because we haven't incorporated.
I thought it was more like a tool to kind of model QCD rather than say, all right, here is how the QCD world looks.
Definitely. Nobody's saying this describes QCD in the real world. I mean, it's just a phenomenological approach. But yeah, so the motivation from this study would be maybe to gain some more insight into what it would look like.
I have a very naive question, if that's okay. The criticism that many string theorists that I talk to have about ADS QCD is that you drop the S5 or the X5, you know, these more general models. And they claim to me that you're not allowed to do that because it's the same radius of curvature as ADS, otherwise it's not a solution, etc. Do you have anything to say about where that S5 went, or like how consistent is these models in general? The ADS QCD picture. I've only heard the mad string theorists, so I'd love to hear someone who likes these models tell me something about it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything. I think there are other criticisms too of ADS QCD, and I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure. Some people do say that it could just be a non-critical string theory, but whether or not, I mean. I think when you have the S5, it's easier to actually trust what you're doing. I mean, you're starting from actual theory rather than this is kind of just, you know, bottom up approach. But I'm not sure about it. I don't really have a good answer to that question.
Okay, any more questions? So there's a next speaker.